In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is hard to remain spiritually hungry. Children, like the early communion class, love to change and grow and learn new things. They're eager. They can't wait to find out new things. The privilege of being a pastor with the early communion class. Huh? Preciousness of the kids, their insights, their laughter, the joy of it. It's amazing. But adults. Yeah, we live in such a seductive society, don't we? We really don't think that suffering should happen to anyone. And we're always looking for quick fixes to get through and out and beyond them. We give easy answers away and don't take that pain and find some distractions, you know. Let's just not go there. Which is why Jesus says, the well-off find it hard to understand what I'm talking about. The poor, trapped in loneliness and longings and emptiness, they got no escape. But the well-off have a hard time listening. Do you remember Jonah, of Jonah and the whale? He got taken where he didn't want to go. And that's really the season of Lent. It's entering the belly of the whale for a time in order to get spit out on a new shore, which we haven't anticipated. Perhaps a new calling, a new sense of self, a new understanding. Human beings seldomly want to enter the belly of the beast freely. Everything that you have experienced in life is the deal. All of it. Job loss, bad childhood, illness, death of a loved one, whatever combination of disasters, can we own this and say, this is my life? What I have experienced, this is the path. And not say, oh, my life is such a tragedy. It's not the way it should have turned out. It was someone else's fault, especially when it is someone else's fault. Or this is my fate. It takes courage to be a human being. And it takes courage to change. We call this the Paschal mystery in the Christian tradition. Dying and rising, dying and rising, dying and rising over and over again so that we might be transformed. That's why we talk about every year following Jesus to the cross. But that does not mean, whoa, look at him over there. Boy, did he get a bum deal. That's avoiding the point that we are all on this journey to the cross, aren't we? And hopefully not only to it, but going through the cross to new life. The reign of God is not just spiritual. We say we are in the world but not of it, and that is profoundly true. We are not of the world, but we are in it, aren't we? In the creation, in need of healing, feeding of others, in need of justice. The reign of God is not outside or cut off or split off from the world, from reality. It's not somewhere else. The classical breakdown of power, priestly, prophetic, political, is what is the realm of the temptations of Jesus today. And we talk about this because power is where we believe life comes from, right? Where do you get the power? Well, in Jesus' day, this is how the Romans ran the show. Bread and circuses for the masses. Do you remember that? Entertainment. Keep people distracted. It's far different than prophetic ministry, which is about naming truths which we have to face and which need to be changed. No, give people bread and circuses. Anybody here ever heard of television? The internet? Football? I love football, Mark, believe me. But it's an operation, isn't it? And political power, well, the Romans exceeded at that, didn't they? I mean, the nastiest of all kinds of intrigue, the poisoning of enemies, just crushing of opponents. They were brilliant at this. Who can imagine living in such a harsh world and so much of it didn't even matter? Wow, the games played with people's lives. Can you imagine being alive in barbaric times like that? Wouldn't that have been cruel? Oh. And then you stir the whole mix together with a little dose of patriotism and a little dose of religious fervor, right? Obey the Roma goddess, you know, and we'll all get along and be happy and pretend it's all working. Yeah, it's a great formula. Tacitus, a Roman historian who lived one generation after Jesus, quoted a king from the British Isles who had witnessed firsthand all the Roman insatiable greed for power and glory and exploitation. And that ancient king said, the Romans, yeah, they love to create deserts and then call it peace. Pax Romana. And Jesus says, beware, this is diabolical powers at work. And it's a far different cry, isn't it? From the teachings and preachings of Jesus, who speaks about being a suffering servant and a servant leader and a persecuted prophet. What a contrast. What a contrast. Lent is the season to pause. It's an invitation to a 40-day retreat. I'm not asking you to unplug completely. I know that's not going to happen. Try to get a little fresh perspective in there, you see? We've come through the winter. Lent literally means spring, springtime. The blossoms are out encouraging us. The new life is happening all around. How shall we become new? Or are we just going to repeat the same old stale patterns? Lent invites us to simply observe everything for the next 40 days. Around you, inside you, just observe it. Don't need to change it. Just observe it. Take it to heart. What's happening? This is my life. This is my path. There's an ancient, profound prayer which I love to hate because it's so true. It says when we're younger, our prayer is, oh, dear God, help me get what I need. But when we have matured in the spiritual life, that prayer becomes, dear God, help me to need what I get. Lent is also the season for traditionally giving something up, and this week I've been deluged, just besieged with phone calls and emails and Twitters and tweets. from so many people begging me to know, what should we give up this year? So I've decided to recommend for the whole congregation that this year we all give up habitual negative thinking. Can I get an amen? Yeah. All right, everybody's in on it. Can you feel the resistance inside of yourself immediately? That's impossible. No way. Who's got time for that? That's not normal. What would I be without my negative thoughts? Right? Well, think about it, friends. Is this why God created you? Is it? God said, oh, I need some more negative thinkers. I need some more people who are destructive to themselves and other people. That's really what I need. Right? Is that what the planet's in short supply of? I don't think so. And now you know why everyone's middle name is Jonah. Please don't take me there. Well, here's a simple and focused way in which to do this. One, simply notice every time you have negative thoughts. Don't fight them. Don't change them. Just notice. Two, just pause. And if you can change something, if you just turn your head back, that's enough. If you get to sit down, that's fine, or stand up, but that's all. Just pause, change something. And three, breathe, smile, and offer this brief prayer. God, thanks for making me aware. You can condense that down to just one word, okay? Aware. That's it. Next 40 days, notice negative thoughts, pause, breathe, smile, aware. And your life will shift. But my bonus gift to you this morning is for Lent. At the end of the season, you do not need to become perfect. Is that good news? It's hopeless. It's pointless. Don't waste your time trying to become perfect. It's a dead end. Rather, follow the path of all the great saints. This is the traditional path to move from failure to failure to the next failure. Because that's far more human and freeing and real. Lent has arrived. Springtime is emerging. The blossoms are beckoning us. How shall we change and grow and go with Christ and in Christ this Lent? Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ.